We talked this morning about the one another passages, and we talked about caring for one another, sharing for one another. So I thought tonight we would look at the book of Philemon. As one of those opportunities for love and humility to be demonstrated in a tangible way, unity of the mind and heart between Philemon and Paul, Paul's love for Onesimus, Philemon's love for Paul, Onesimus's love for Paul, you know, the whole triangle there that worked through. So let's look at this tonight. Let's read through it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective to the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this in my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's an amazing little book. It's an amazing little letter as we think about it. Here is the Apostle Paul in prison, having an opportunity to minister to a young man, whether this is, I don't know how they crossed paths, I don't know where they crossed paths. Maybe this individual was thrown in prison, being a vagrant, being on the street, whatever the case might be. Somewhere along the line, Paul and Philemon had an opportunity to cross paths. And through that intersection of two men's lives, Philemon and Paul, Paul has an opportunity to share Christ with Onesimus. And we understand Paul and his heart and his desire to serve Christ, and he didn't care where it was. He didn't care what the situation was in his life. What he understood was, wherever I am, God put me here. And since God put me here, my responsibility is to share Christ, because there must be somebody that God wants me to share Christ with where I am at this present time. So Paul was more than willing to open his mouth and share Christ with whoever happened to come across his path. So in this instance, it was Onesimus. And I don't know about you, Paul's wherever he is in prison at this point in time. Philemon is back in Asia Minor. And so you can imagine Paul's surprise as he's talking to this young man and he has an opportunity to share Christ with him. And he has an opportunity to ask him, well, where are you from? Because I could tell by your accent, you're not from here. And as he starts to unroll his story, Paul realizes that my friend Philemon is this individual's boss. Now, can you imagine Paul's surprise when he heard that? And I can't imagine what Paul felt as he had this individual standing next to him. He shares Christ with him. Onesimus opens his heart, comes to know Christ as his personal Savior, then spills the rest of the story. Well, let me tell you why I'm here. I was working for Philemon. I was one of his slaves. I stole from him, and I wanted to get as far away from him as I possibly could. So I ended up here. And now I run into you. So you can imagine that reunion, but you can imagine the conversation that Paul and Onesimus had as they worked through what it means to confess your sins one to another, what it means to go back and make restitution and make right a relationship. And so Paul sets the stage for Onesimus to go back. And we read in this first three verses that Philemon must have been a wealthy individual, had a number of people who were working for him, to the point that his house was big enough to house the church there in that city. And so Philemon would open his home. He was gracious enough to open his home. He had the means. And so here is this church meeting in Philemon's house. And so Paul writes a letter back to Philemon, and that's what we have in front of us here. Paul writes a letter, hands it to Onesimus, and says, you need to make this relationship right. I would love to keep you here. Who would know? You could serve. God's doing a great work in your heart. You know, you see Timothy here, you see Mark, you see these individuals that have gone alongside me. I've had this opportunity to disciple them. You know, it'd be very easy for Paul to say, hey, one more guy, Onesimus, you know, that I would have the opportunity to train and disciple and to help grow. But I think Paul said, you will grow more by taking this letter and going back to your former boss. I think you would grow more in your understanding of grace and redemption and forgiveness if you take this letter and go back to your boss. How is he going to respond? Paul, I don't know. I don't know, but this is what God would have you to do. So as we read this letter, what we are finding is Paul sort of preparing the way for Onesimus. Now, you can imagine what that first meeting was. You can imagine when Onesimus walked into Philemon's house that morning for the morning service. And usually when a letter was brought into a church service, it was read in front of the whole congregation. So now what we have is Onesimus walking up to the front. Now, whether Philemon was the pastor or not, we don't know. Maybe he just opened his home and there was somebody else who was the pastor of that church at that time. But Onesimus walks down the center aisle after church starts and hands the letter to the pastor. And the pastor opens the letter and starts to read it. I can imagine the look on people's faces. I'm sure everybody in the church knew who Onesimus was. I'm sure everybody in that church and in that congregation knew what Onesimus did. And now he walks in. And he doesn't walk in and slide in the back row. He walks in and walks down the front, to the front, and hands this letter to the pastor. Now, Paul starts off, and Paul, being a lawyer, knew how to speak and knew how to present his case. So how does Paul start? I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and your faith and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and to all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Paul was hearing about the churches that he had the privilege of ministering to. I can't imagine what Paul's prayer list was like. You know, Paul, here's Paul. Every letter he says, I pray for all of you all the time. So I can't imagine what his prayer journal was like, or his prayer scroll, or whatever he was carrying around at that point in time. But Philemon had an amazing testimony, didn't he? He had a love for God that was talked about. Not for Philemon's glory, not for Philemon to gain any attention. He just loved God with all of his heart, and in such a way that it was reflected in his life that it was noticeable. There was something different about Philemon, and that was talked about. And wherever Paul was at this time, in that separation of time, those reports were coming back to him about Philemon and his love for God and his walk in the faith. And I pray that that's my testimony, not for me, but for God's glory. That people would see the love of Christ just flowing through me and my faith in Jesus Christ, that I am so in love with my Heavenly Father that is demonstrated. And we see that in Philemon. And not only his love for God, but also for the saints. And here's where that one another thought comes in that we talked about this morning. Philemon loved the brothers. Philemon loved his church. Philemon loved those people that were there. He demonstrated his faith in such a way that it affected those that were in his body or in that body of believers, but also his love for them, his willingness to give up whatever, his willingness to do whatever. Just that overflow of Christ-like love was evident to the point that it was just blessing that church and that body of believers at that point in time. So Paul makes reference of that. Sort of, you don't want to say he's greasing the skids for what he's going to have to talk about in just a second. But he was preparing Philemon. And again, it's being read out loud in front of the church. Okay? I could see people as it's being read. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly who Philemon is. I've experienced that love. I've experienced that faith. I've experienced, you know, that relationship with Philemon. And he is that kind of guy. Paul has it right. Everything that Paul is hearing is exactly who Philemon is. And so now Paul starts to turn the corner here just a little bit. Accordingly, in light of this, I have a request for you, Philemon. You see this individual who's standing here in front of you. It's interesting how he says this. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required in God, full acceptance of a brother who comes back in repentance. I can require you to do that, Philemon, because that's what we're supposed to do. We recognize that in Jesus Christ. We recognize that in His love for us, His death, His burial, His resurrection. He loved us that much that, you know, it's demonstrated there. And I can require that of you, Philemon, yet, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Now, can you imagine the Apostle Paul writing a letter, being read out loud, and he said, I'm not going to require you to do this. I'm just going to appeal to you out of love for Christ. Put Philemon on the spot just a little bit. Yeah, I would think so. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also of Christ. He's laid it on pretty thick here, isn't he? I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. This is really what this letter is all about. You know, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. He had that privilege of leading Onesimus to Christ. And he had a deep, heartfelt burden for this individual, this man who was scared to death to go back and present himself to Philemon. And Paul was just out of the sincerity of his heart, talking to Philemon and just sharing his heart with Philemon for Onesimus. As he goes on, he says, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he's indeed useful to you and to me. Onesimus, rough translation of Onesimus, is useful. That's really what his name meant. So Onesimus, this useful individual, by his name and I'm sure by his service, decided that he needed to take something from Philemon. He became useless at that point and he fled. But now he's become useful again. Why? Because there's been a heart change. There's been a life change in Onesimus. He is now useful not only, you know, Paul's not arguing, he says, not only as a bondservant, but also as a brother. So Paul's not arguing for the abolishment of slavery. What he's saying is this man is going to come back to you and he's going to continue to work for you, but he's no longer just the slave. He is now your brother in Christ. And that love and faith that you've been demonstrating to every other brother in Christ within your church that meets in your house, now, Onesimus, I'm asking you to display that same kind of love and faith to Onesimus. Please demonstrate that. Please do that because that is right and that is correct. And that is how God would have you treat this one that is coming back. And so again, I can't imagine what's running through Philemon's mind as he is sitting there trying to sift through all of this, as this letter is being read, okay, this guy came back. We don't know how much he took from him. But we know that he just walked in the door, shocked Philemon. This letter's being read. Everybody's looking at Philemon now. How is he going to respond? Is he going to call the authorities and have Onesimus arrested? Is he going to treat him with the love that Paul is suggesting that he treat him with because now he is a brother in Christ? Just how is Philemon going to respond? And as we talked about this morning, as we talked about those one another passages, as far as unity and love and humility are concerned, Philemon needed to humble himself at this point. He needed to demonstrate love. He needed to show unity within the body that this is how you treat one another when a brother comes back to Christ. You don't talk about him. You don't beat him up. You don't continue to punish him. But you accept him as a brother and show love to him as Christ has shown love to us. So there must be some kind of spiritual relationship between Paul and Philemon, because we read that just a little bit earlier. But now there is this spiritual relationship between Philemon and Onesimus because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. But how much more, he says in verse 16, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Onesimus is now going to be a different man. He's going to be a different kind of worker for you. And not only that, he's going to be a brother. Can you imagine the conversations, Philemon, you can have with Onesimus now? Can you imagine the kind of fellowship that you could have with Onesimus now? And then he goes on in verse 17, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. And if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Now just put that on my tab, Philemon. How much money do you think Paul had being in prison? Probably not a whole lot. Philemon's saying, Paul, what in the world are you talking about here? I know you don't have anything. If you're planning on paying me back, I know that's not coming. So charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing, I love this, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Remember that day that you and I sat down and we had that spiritual conversation and I had that opportunity to open the scriptures with you and explain to you who Jesus Christ is? Philemon, do you remember that day? Do you remember that day when you knelt down and you prayed and you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you remember that day? I just want to throw that out to you. Because if you want to add all of this up, you know, I gave you new life. I introduced you to new life in Jesus Christ. Yes, brother. I want some benefit from you and the Lord. And you know what that benefit was? Refresh my heart. Philemon, do what's right. Respond to Onesimus the way you should respond to Onesimus. Just open your heart to him. Demonstrate love to him. Accept him as a brother. And that would refresh my heart, Philemon, if you would do that. And then Paul goes on, Philemon, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than that. Philemon, I know the kind of man you are. I've seen it in your life. I've heard reports of who you are, how you demonstrate and live out those one another passages. Not that they had them all, but you love other people. You're selfless. You want to help. You want to encourage. You want to strengthen. And so Paul just tells Philemon, I know what you're going to do. And you know what? I don't need to request anything from you, Philemon, because I know you're going to do even more than what I would even request. Because that's the kind of man you are. Continue to refresh the saints. Continue to refresh my heart as I hear reports of how you live your life. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me. I'm going to come. God's going to release me from this prison. Been here before. I've done that. And I'm going to be released and I'm going to come to you and we're going to rejoice together with our dear brother Onesimus. Can you imagine that reunion? Can you imagine that bondservant, that slave being invited to dinner the night that Paul gets there? And they're sitting around the dinner table having that conversation about that moment when Onesimus walked into that building and into that home and into that church and into the lives of that body. And there's so much that's here. God's redemptive work in the life of an individual who is considered useless. Paul, with a heart to share the message of the gospel no matter where he is and to whoever comes across his path. An individual like Philemon who is living out Christ with every fiber of his being to the point that it is being reflected to everyone that comes in contact with him. three different individuals, three different points in their lives. But God gives us a clear vision and a clear view of what it means to love one another deeply, to love God deeply with all of our heart. The end of this book is just great, because we know that Paul didn't do ministry on his own. There were individuals that were alongside him, those individuals who were there to help him. Remember Mark? That he said, you know what, Barnabas, take Mark and get out of here, because he's going to take off the next time things go south. But here's Mark ministering to Paul. Aristarchus, Demas. Demas, as we read through Scripture, eventually walks away from the faith. And Luke, my fellow workers. Paul had a team. Paul had a team that were committed to the cause of Christ. Paul had a fellow prisoner, whether he was walking with him at the time, or whether he got arrested at the same time, or whether Paul led him to Christ while they were in prison. Here's my fellow prisoner, Epaphras. He sends his greetings too. Oh, that we might live our lives as Philemon did, as Paul did, that we might be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And as we have that opportunity, as God brings those opportunities across our path, that we might love others the way Christ loved us. That we would share the truth of the message of the gospel with them. That we would be willing to accept anyone and everyone who walks through our doors. They may not be bringing a letter down to the front, but there are people who are in need, who need to hear the message of Christ, who need to sense the love of Christ being shown to them, so that they might know the truth of who Christ is. And that we might be like Philemon, ready to accept and do what God has called us to do. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I thank you for each one that's here. Father, I pray that as we move into this next week, I pray that you might challenge our hearts. I pray that you might speak your truth into our lives, that we might love one another deeply within this body, but that we might love those who are outside of this body, that we might see them through your eyes, that we might be challenged in our hearts to share the message of Christ with those who need to hear. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for this account that you've put into your word, a challenge to all of us. The Apostle Paul, the father, Philemon and Onesimus, those children of his, the father, a child that needed to be restored. A child that came to know you and needed to be restored to relationship with Philemon in Onesimus. Father, we've all been there. We've all needed to feel that restoring love and that restoring hope that comes as we yield ourselves to you. So, Father, guide us this week. Help us to seek you. Help us to live for you. I pray that our lives might reflect your love and our faith in you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight.